From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. You're listening to All Things Considered. Earlier this month, engineers from MIT teamed up with Coastal Helicopter and the Juno Ice Research Program to pull off a high-stakes egg drop. It's just like the ones you did in school, except the egg is a very fragile, very expensive seismometer. And the drop point is 5,000 feet above the Juno ice field. The dropping device looks like a 6-foot lawn dart, and it's called the Ice Penetrator. Eventually, they'll be used to place seismometers in the ice sheets of Antarctica to help scientists understand climate change. But before that, MIT's team will have to figure out if their design can keep the metaphorical egg from breaking. Dr. Chester Ruschek leads the project, and he joined KTOO's Anna Canney to talk about how it went.
It looks like basically a 6-foot lawn dart with an antenna on top, a mast. The top part is much wider. It's like a disc. It stays on the top because the mast has to be up above the ice and snow for communications. But the piece that holds the sensors and the batteries to provide power continue going into the ice shelf itself.
And the goal eventually will be to drop the ice penetrator from a helicopter to deposit seismometers in Antarctica to measure changing ice. Can you explain to me why that is such a difficult feat?
Because the seismometer is so sensitive, usually they're only meant to be dropped out of the back of a pickup truck. So when you tell them, yeah, we're going to drop it from 5,000 feet above the ice shelf, they tend to freak out. So the goal of this was to get accelerometers inside the system, do a few drops, and then from the drops, we would be able to go to the seismometer people and say, this is what we expect that you have to survive.
And the reason for putting accelerometers in there is to measure force, basically, like the amount of force that these seismometers will eventually have to endure?
Correct.
So right now, this prototype is sort of a dummy version. It doesn't have those really fragile seismometers in it yet. But when it does, they'll measure motion in the ice shelf in Antarctica. Why is that so important?
Well, it's climate change, because if large chunks of the ice shelf break off, you get seawater rise, sea level rise. So part of this is really to look at how do you predict this a little better. So think of the Ross Ice Shelf is suspended on a layer of water. So you're going to have impacts from the water underneath it, but you're going to have waves coming in at the front of it. And then you're going to have atmospheric conditions pushing down on it. So what the seismometer is really looking for is how is the ice responding to all three of these different type of waves?
Are there any other factors you're considering in terms of successfully deploying the ice penetrator?
So it really wants to go straight in, because what happens is with the seismometer, there's a gyroscope that can only straighten it out if the tilt is so many degrees. So there was a whole slew of things that could have gone wrong, but it actually worked out okay.
And why is remote deployment so important? Why is the ability to be able to drop these sensors from a helicopter like this useful?
So one of the things is a few of my colleagues have worked with people in the Arctic and Antarctica, and people's lives, scientists' lives have been lost there. So this kind of mitigates that problem by removing that from the equation and making it a little bit simple. And they do have sensors out there that were manually placed, but it's not enough. So being able to just throw a bunch out of the back of a helicopter or back of a plane is a lot easier.
Well, thanks for joining me. And it's pretty exciting that Juno got to play a little role in this really cool science.
Juno is very important to us having success in Antarctica. So that was good.
That was Dr. Chester Ruschek speaking with KTOO's Anna Canney. People in Juneau who run Airbnbs or other short-term rentals are required to pay sales taxes and hotel bed tax to the city. But as the number of rentals continue to go up, the city needs a way to keep track of who's paying and who isn't. As KTOO's Katie Anassis reports, owners may soon have to register their short-term rentals with the city.
The registration program would assign a unique number to each short-term rental. Owners would have to include that number in their online listings. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says it would help the city collect sales tax and have a clearer picture of the market.
And since most of those advertisements happen over online short-term rental platforms like Airbnb and VRBO, that enables us to have a more comprehensive understanding of short-term rental activity in Juneau.
The Assembly will vote on whether to create a registration program next week. They've already started discussing other ways they could curb the increase in short-term rentals, which can leave long-term renters with fewer, more expensive housing options. Other communities provide some examples. Sitka requires short-term rental owners to live on the property for half of the year. Wasilla issues just 75 short-term rental permits per year, and one property owner can have up to 3 permits. At a meeting on Monday, Juneau Assembly member Alicia Hughes-Gandies expressed interest in some of those measures.
I'd be interested to see what something like limiting it to your primary residence, limitations on the number that an individual could operate, even if we didn't have a borough-wide cap.
Member Wade Bryson urged the Assembly to be cautious.
I agree that we are going down a correct path. We need to register short-term rentals. We need to make sure that they're not literally displacing our residents. But I would like to remind everybody that we are about to begin on a process of telling people what they can do with their property. And that is a big deal.
Barr says the registration program likely won't yield useful data until it's been running for a year or more. But he told the Assembly it's a good first step and understanding the growing short-term rental market in Juneau.
As more people get into that particular market and business, regulation becomes more painful for more people the longer you wait to do it.
If approved, the registration program would begin in July. In Juneau, and Katie Anastas.
Anna Ehlers is now Dr. Anna Ehlers, an honor bestowed upon her this spring by the University of Alaska Southeast. She says it's one event in a series of many that help her do what she loves most, keep Chilkat weaving alive. The Juneau Elder says recognition from the doctorate is already helping her secure future projects. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, she's working on her biggest blanket yet.
Anna Ehlers' love affair with Tlingit weaving began in downtown Juneau as a small child when she saw her uncle in a July 4th parade wearing a Chilkat blanket with fringe that seemed to have a life of its own.
The fringe was very flowing and graceful. The colors and the design, my little four-year-old eyes just fell in love with it. And I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life, was to make those.
It wasn't until 20 years later that she shared her dream with a state lawmaker while working at the state capitol. When Ehlers explained she would have to take a year off from work to learn to weave, something she couldn't afford to do, a group of Alaska Native lawmakers got together and wrote a bill to give her a grant equivalent to a year's salary. Governor Jay Hammond signed it into law just in time for Ehlers to work under Jenny Clunott, then in her 90s, and a master at using mountain goat wool and cedar bark fibers to weave. Knowledge that is precious because it was almost lost.
Jenny Clunott said we were not to be stingy with the knowledge that she gave us.
Advice Ehlers took to heart. She went on to teach and mentor more than 300 weavers. She also donated a lot of her work, pieces that typically take a year or more to weave. But Ehlers discovered that gifting her art turned out to be an act of personal healing, that when she shares it with others, she says pain in her wrists from carpal tunnel syndrome mysteriously disappears. And it was in this spirit of generosity that Ehlers was recognized at the University of Southeast Alaska during its graduation ceremony this year.
I am honored to present Anna Ehlers with the Honorary Doctorate of Fine Arts. Congratulations.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Dr. Ehlers.
Thank you.
Dr. Ehlers gives credit for her new degree to her uncle Roy Brown. She says the memory of how he wore his regalia with such dignity in that 1959 parade continues to inspire her today. Ehlers also thanked all the people and organizations that have awarded her fellowships and grants over the years to help keep Chilkat weaving and its designs, which reflect the identity of clan and tribe, alive. But at 68, she's not done yet and says she's begun work on the blanket of her dreams.
The project I'm doing is the biggest Chilkat blanket in the world.
The design is top secret until it goes on a national tour in December 2025. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
You're listening to KTOO. It's just about 5 o'clock.